Okay, I want to clarify what I let last week about the yeast, the starter dough, the sourdough. Okay, the issue, the halacha, let's just review that halacha one more time. It's an important halacha. I'm going back to Simen Lamed Hey, just to go over that part that I did not know last week. Simen Lamed Hey, Sif Katin, Dalet. Se'or she'noyle min'o isok de'lechametz bo'isa acheres. Now this is the problem. We have, in time of Chazal, time of the Kitzer, when they would prepare dough, they would leave over a small piece of dough, so that it should sit for hours and hours and turn into sourdough, so they can use it as a catalyst to make other dough rise very quickly. Like today, if you go and let dough rise, even though we know that it becomes chametz in 18 minutes, the truth is, it really takes long. I mean, it really would take a lot longer to reach a point where you would be satisfied. And if you want to get it going very quickly, you add yeast. You add sour. There's certainly a lot of things you can buy in the store to get the dough, to have the dough rise right away. But in the time of Chazal, they didn't do that. They used sourdough. Now, every time you prepare a dough, you automatically want to use the dough that you're preparing now to be a small piece of it. You leave over to be used as the starter dough for the next batch that you're going to prepare tomorrow or later. Now here is the problem. The problem is when you use starter dough, the sourdough, when you mix it into the main dough, inevitably it's going to get mixed. And when you're going to later separate challah, there's a real concern that part of what you separate as your kezias of challah is going to include the yeast or the starter dough that you put in to get this thing going. So what's the problem? The problem is if this starter dough came from a previous one upon which you already separated challah, and now you're separating challah a second time, you're separating challah from something which is potter from challah. It's critical that when you separate challah, the part that you separate and the remainder from the remainder are on the same page. They both start out chayiv, and now when the day is over, this is going to be challah for this. But if you start out with a taruvis, I have here a mixture of dough. Part of the dough is chayiv in challah. Part of the dough is potter from challah. And now I take a piece, and the piece must have a shear of a kezias. And this piece that I have in my hand, part of it might be chayiv, part of it might be potter. It turns out that you don't have challah, a shear, that's going to exempt the part that is chayiv in challah, because the piece that you're separating, part of it itself, is potter from challah. So it's a very big problem when you start mixing and matching pieces of dough from different batches, and one batch is chayiv, and one batch is potter. So here's the problem. You have over here the dough. And you want to be mafresh challah from this dough. But you also want to use a little piece of this dough to be used as starter dough for another batch. So here's the dilemma. If I go now and I'm mafresh challah, so everything in front of me is now potter from challah. I mean mafresh kezias challah. This kezias I have, I put aside, I'm going to burn. Everything here now is potter from challah. Oh, but I don't want to bake the entire batch. I want to take a little clump, put it aside, and let it sit and turn into sourdough. Okay, so I take a little. So what do I have? I have here in front of me three things. I have the challah, I have my batter of dough, and I have now the sourdough. The challah pottered everything, because I took off the challah when I had this one. I then get rid of it. I burn the challah, I bake the dough, and I have my sourdough. Okay, next day. I bring a new batch of dough, flour and water, sitting on the table. Look at my watch, it's taking too long. Let's get things moving here. I can't wait the whole day for this thing to rise. I take the sourdough from yesterday, and I put it in, and I mix it all together, and that sourdough causes it to rise very quickly.
Why'd you take the challah before you put in the sourdough?
Oh, that's what I'm coming to point out. Let me show you the problem. It's wonderful. Now I have a batch, the dough has. And now what do I need to do? Well, 95% of this batch is chayv and challah. 5% of this batch is potter from challah. Because 5% of this batch includes the sourdough that I mixed inside.
Don't mix it in first.
Oh, but that it has to rise. When do you think of challah? You think of challah from dough. You don't think of challah from flour and water. You think of that from dough that is already, when the dough is already mixed together. That's what you're going to take off challah. Just putting in the flour and water, you have to, that's the assumption. So what am I going to do now? What am I have over here a batter, and in this batter, 95% is chayv in challah. 5% is patur m'challah. If I'm going to take off a kazayis, the minimum, the smallest amount, it's not really a kazayis. Because in this one kazayis, 5% of my kazayis probably includes the sourdough, which is patur from challah. So I'm fooling myself and thinking that I'm in mekayim, the mitzvah of challah, when really part of what I'm being mafresh is not going to patur from challah, because it's not the full shear. That's the problem. So to avoid this problem, what you should do is, yesterday, when you first decide that you're going to mafresh challah, before you are mafresh challah, separate the piece of sourdough that you're planning on using tomorrow as a starter for your next dough. That way, that piece that you separate is chayiv in challah. I never exempted it from challah. And now when I separate challah, I'm only separating challah from this batch, I'm not separating challah from the sourdough. So tomorrow, when I take that sourdough and I put it into a new batch, the entire thing 100% is chayv and challah. We don't have a taruvis issue. The key point is, you don't ever want to have a dough where part of the dough is chayv and challah and part of the dough is potter from challah, because I already was mafresh challah. How do you ever have such a hechatimsa? It's very common, because how do you get a dough to rise? You take dough from another batch that has been sitting around for a very long time. But if the dough from the other batch has already had the mitzvah challah been done from it, that piece of dough is potter from challah. And now you mix into this dough, which is chayv in challah, you have a taruvus. And anytime you have a taruvus of two different types of challah, so you're going to put yourself into a lot of trouble. So the solution is, always be careful not to separate challah until you are ready to use it. Let's see. So here, dalet so'or she'noylim min o'isah, k'dil chametz po'isah cheres, tzidichin, likach, take that sourdough in advance, koidem she'mafrish na'chala, so that it should not be potter, so you will not have a problem when you mix it later into a new batch of dough. That's chayiv. Avol, however, but if you're planning on taking the sourdough and using it for a beverage, now beverages are potter from chala, so the sourdough will never come in contact with a batch of dough, which will be chayv in challah. I will source she neilin lechametz by mashke shekoren borscht. So borscht is potter from challah. So now is the only chance. Now is the only time you'll be able to be mafresh challah from this piece of dough. Do it now. Do it now before you separate it. Shirin likach lachar sheyefrish challah. Separate that piece of dough that you're going to use as a catalyst for your borscht after you mekayim the mitzvah for hashas challah. Now we have another similar question. Halacha, hey, what happens when Pesach is over? Pesach is over. It's mitzoy Pesach. Everyone's running to the pizza store and they want to have the dough rise. They want the dough to rise. So problem is, they don't have any. Now, of course, today they use yeast, but ancient times they needed sourdough to get the dough to rise mitzoy Pesach. Where do they get the sourdough from? You go to the goy next door to the goy. The goy has sourdough. The sourdough of the goy is potter from hafrosh haschala. The only dough that's chayv in hafrosh haschala is Jewish dough, not non-Jewish dough. So if I'm going to take the non-Jewish dough, sourdough, and mix it into my Jewish dough, we're going to have a taruvis of chiyuv and petur. What do we do? There's no solution in this case. So the solution is that when you mafrish challah, make sure you mafrish a shear, which even in the worst circumstance will include a kazayis of dough that's chayiv in afrasha. Assuming worst scenario, that in the portion you're going to separate includes the sourdough of the goy, there must be basically double that amount to make sure that you have a full shear of dough which is chayiv in afrasha schala. Well, how does that work? Pastak with the sourdough.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because it's
because the triggering it.
The triggering. It's choshev. It's choshev. Yeah, I don't know the answer.
Comes out of it.
Yeah. What?
Every year, it's a scenario. Let's say it's Pesach, and you take the guys this.
Yeah.
So do you take, before you mafresh challah, you take out a starter?
No, so that we just learned. So first, you have another problem.
You already have from the guy.
Uh-huh.
So there's never metzias that you'll have a straight Jewish piece of
Savas bitzvas, Erev Shabbos.
Unless you hold, you can sell a starter mine.
I hear what you're saying. I don't know the answer. I hear what you're saying. I don't know. Okay.
This is a big problem, I think, because sometimes they make, to get a starter going, they
yeah.
get a mother and daughter.
Yeah.
The first starter, sometimes they use the psoilus from Geffen. They use as a medium to grow it in. So all daughters they have 100, 200 year old today. They're using in production in big companies, but it's all yayin esach, because it's coming from a mother that originally was. So
they paskin. It's mishtani. Interesting. Very interesting.
It has to do either with whiskeys or with wines or even with beers. They need a starter to get it through.
So that's what it is. Lalochay li'achar Pesach shaleichim nesar mi'adikham mazolos lechametz boyisa. They acquire sourdough from non-Jews. So now you have a taruvis in your dough, sourdough from a non-Jew, which is potter. Your dough is chayiv. What do you do? Tzrichin lihizoher lehafrish chala yoiser gidoyla mimash hoya hasor. The sheer chala must be larger than the sourdough, just in case that the portion that you're going to pull out will be the sourdough. Then that's not going to be a valid hafrosh haschala, because it's min hapetur alachiv. To make sure in this situation you take a very large shear where you can be certain that the portion that you separate includes a kosher shear of dough that was chayiv to pater the remainder. Okay, that was the part that we left out. Now we can go to the next simon, halal hilchas melicha. The laws of melicha are Koydim shemolchim es abasa halal simon lamivav. Koydim shemolchim es abasa tzrichim ladiach oiso yofe b'mayim. See the word hadacha. That's the word in Shulchan. This is a simon shel Yordea. The word hadacha, so I mentioned there in the Hayamim, that the very interesting word of hadacha, it had to be part of the preparing of meat for the mizbech, also requires salting. So you have to rinse it yofe well b'mayim, period. Now that's not sufficient. It says here in the Kitzer that you should soak the meat fully immersed in water for at least a half an hour. In a situation where there's a wound or there's some collection of blood, a clot of blood, you have to rub it hard in the water that which is being soaked and to remove it. It's all very common. They buy in the store, they have meat and there's a red, looks like someone gave it a zetz. There's a red clot. So is the yes? They call up the rabbi. Is it kosher? Is it not kosher? What's the shaila? So generally, the rabbanim say, "Don't worry, it's kosher." That's what you learn the heksher for. If they packaged it, and they generally say that it's kosher, you don't have to worry about it, because that's if it has a heksher, it's been packaged. That's what their responsibility. That these things, they're just a stain. So, Remiski, you want to comment on that?
Yeah, the problems arise. The trailers that come from very far, come overnight. Like what happened if the ones that were further out in the Midwest, like Nebraska, like that, it was a 2-day trip. And if you get stuck in the winter on a snowy time, so what they used to use was they had these high pressure
hoses
that they would water down the meat.
That's a different issue. The problem is
over the entire piece. And a lot of times with blasting the high pressure hoses, sometimes you freeze a spot.
Uh-huh.
But a lot of places, well, if you want to return the meat, they take it back without question.
And then we sell to someone else. Right.
So, but let's
say you go to Glatmart. You go to come up from Glatmart. They send an order to Glatmart.
I'm going to take it back.
But they're not going back. That's all I'm talking about. It's too long to bring it back. You have a piece of meat. You buy a piece of meat from Glatmart. It comes packaged, wrapped.
Right.
And you notice that there's just too much, it's too red, there's too much blood. In one section of the piece of meat, it's too red, it's too much blood. That's the question. So some people get scared. They get very scared, like maybe this was not properly salted. Maybe in the salting process, they missed this spot. Or maybe there was something happened, and it slipped by the mashgichim.
There are things that get missed, unfortunately. There are things that do get missed.
Yeah. People ask this question.
Nowadays, they institute mashgichim on top of the mashgichim. You know, people check the mashgichim for another mashgichim.
Okay.
Strange special.
Shemus Hagidim, where they take it out, the people complaining. You should really
Listen, a lot of things go on.
I know a couple years ago, I had a problem.
They're not getting on maliciously, but there are a lot of things that happen.
I kept on getting chickens that the legs were broken. I didn't know
what it was. Shemus Hagidim.
And what happened was that the manufacturer started packaging, deliberately breaking the legs of the chicken. I don't know why they did it. Either they didn't want to have shilas, or the packaging was such.
It
makes big problems when you start seeing broken.
Broken bone is today part of the packaging, but before then, I thought
that's the coolest. The bone breaks the seal when you can't get it into the vacuum.
Packaging purposes.
And it breaks the seal of the vacuum. The bones.
We break it on purpose, which is good, because then there's no Shiloh with a broken bone.
The maker, they say it's because of the machine. The machine broke it. You have what to be samech on. Let's go further. So the first thing you have to do is you have to soak it for half an hour. V'tzorach shamayim nichatz kabos the moment sheyesh adam be'ayin albas hashichin l'shav shom b'meh hashir l'hasiru v'chein b'yef hashichin l'shav shev heiti b'mokim hashchita. You have to rub it b'mokim hashchita. V'chein b'fnei b'mokim sheyesh adam be'ayin. You have to rinse it out inside. There's not any collection of blood on the inside. V'lepa'amim nimtza b'basa b'ayin b'mokim shenitzra b'idamach mas maka. Sometimes the blood is collected because of a maka wound. Tzrichim l'achtecha. You have to cut the hamokim hazeu l'hasir to remove that place because the salting is not going to properly remove the blood from this location. Misham koydim hashir before the soaking. Shamayim koydim ma'od yanichim tchilu b'mokim. I have a mistake over here. B'mokim shamayim koydim ma'od. Another thing. How cold can the water be when you soak the meat before you do the salting? The water should not be too cold. If the water is too cold, then yanichim tchilu b'mokim cham ketzas lechafik tzinasam to remove the chill. Koydem shemayim asabasar. Because if the water is too cold, it's not going to loosen up the meat. The reason why it has to be soaked is to moisten the meat so that the salt can do its job. And another reason why you have to soak is because the salt only takes out the blood that is moist inside in the flesh of the meat. But the salt does not remove hard blood. Hard frozen blood, the salt will not remove. Therefore, it must be soaked in order to melt, to dissolve the solid clots of blood that are found on the surface of the meat. There are two basic reasons why you're salting meat. You're soaking it before salting it. Number one, you want to moisten it on the inside. Number two, you want to dissolve any clumps of blood that are found on the meat. Ki machmas, and the water cannot be too cold, because if it's too cold, ki ha kirush shavamayim yiskash abos. If the water is too cold, it's going to cause the water to freeze. Velo yetsi achakach hadam melicha, and it's not going. The melicha will not come out.
You also make sure that you keep changing. If you're going to let it soak, you have to change. Somebody has to be there to change the water.
So, because then it shouldn't go back in more than 24 hours. The general law that the salting only works on meat for the first 72 hours, 3 days. So today it's a very big problem because many of the slaughterhouses, the animals come from the south. And sometimes it's very close when they come to the factory here in New York or in the tri-state area.
And a half hour when the shechita was. They come with tags.
When the shechita was.
9 o'clock, okay.
Really? Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Did it change the water over?
You're changing it every hour or so. Somebody has to be there. Like if they do it, or you get in meat late Friday or something like that, they're going to let it soak. Meat from Ali, they don't use ugegos in the flesh.
What does that mean?
It means that when soaked, it's over 3 days, they don't use it. They get rid of it. They sell it to somebody who will use it.
But what happens to the salting? Sometimes they can't do that.
You get in meat, it comes in late, and it's a half hour. You got to dump it in the water right away. You get in meat on a Friday morning. That's why you don't get fresh meat on Monday and Tuesday, never. Because shchit is not till Saturday night, Sunday morning. So you're going to get in Wednesday. The meat you get in Wednesday, maybe you got a half hour to an hour left, depending on when you open the business. If you open up at 6 o'clock, the meat could be maybe good till 7:30. And you got to just dump it in the water. You don't have time to trapper and everything like that. So you have to dump it and put it in the bins and let it soak. And then you start working on it as you get a chance. And you're looking at the tags. The mashgiach is watching the meat come off the trailer and he's looking at the tags and they separate the hours and use it accordingly as fast as they can.
But what happens, isn't there a cooler, if you can't, the meat will not arrive within 3 days from the shechita, so they hose it down.
Yeah, right.
That's the high pressure hoses.
That's the problem that I didn't want to say, but see, Ravashkin, it came all the way from out there. It was an extra day.
Yeah.
Most of the meat that came from Chicago made it overnight.
Okay.
The meat that came from already from Iowa.
Yeah.
Was already another day.
So where do they wash it down?
Are they kosher in Iowa?
Yes and no.
No.
depending on what. Not all of it. Some they had to bring into 14th Avenue over there and kosher it over there. Absolutely.
Interesting.
They would bring in pieces.
When do you do the tray break? After the whole thing, right?
Yeah, I mean, you're putting in your tray break, and then they're doing the whole process. Mm-hmm. It's a long time. Takes the whole morning, and then you're doing, you're putting it on the table, and they start to work on it. So it's a whole involved process. It's very
halacha base.
I figure it's like 80 cents a pound.
It's labor intensive.
Yeah, if you figure out your cost, it's 80 cents a pound of kosher meat.
Even chicken?
Doesn't cost less than
that. Chicken also? Chicken is just as involved.
The smaller the piece of meat, the more labor intensive it is, because you're doing this much work for a smaller amount of poundage. Mm-hmm. The bigger the animal, the less it costs you to kosher.
Less salt on it, too.
It's not that. It's just that you're getting 200 pounds instead of 5 pounds, so lamb costs more because you're putting all that work, and you're getting a little piece of meat.
Okay, let's see. Base in shachol v'nishra v'abasav my meis leis. If you let the meat soak for too long, it's also no good. The meat should not soak more than it soaks for about a half an hour. If it soaks for 24 hours, so the problem is the salt has completely come out of the meat and now it begins to get to go back in. As long as it's in the process of emitting this of the blood, that's fine. But once it sits for 24 hours, we assume that all of the blood has left the meat and now has re-entered. And when it re-enters through soaking, it's never going to come out and the meat's going to be treif. Because then it's worse, because then it's blood which left. As long as the blood is inside the meat, it's okay. You're allowed to have blood as long as the blood has not come out. But once the blood comes out and then goes back inside, then there's an iser deraisa of dam. So if you let the meat soak in water for 24 hours, what has happened? The blood has left the inside of the meat. And now that you're letting it sit around for such a long time, it's going to re-enter the meat. So you've made the meat treif. Would have been better to do nothing. Better to do nothing than the meat, than the blood. Technically, you have not really done any avera if you were to eat the meat just by rinsing it.
Well, that's why the liver, you freeze it. You don't have a chance to work in the liver. It comes in frozen solid, so it didn't have a chance to thaw out.
Isn't that a verb cooler? Even meat itself. I have no choice.
You're eating chopped liver, you're eating from
frozen. You have no choice.
Time in the world to make all that chopped liver from fresh liver.
But liver you have to salt?
No, they don't salt. They roast it. Roast it.
Those wires.
So if you're making it so it comes in on the trailer, if you're taking fresh liver, you can't take too much fresh liver unless you have a monster plant with 50 shochtim there.
With the ovens ready to
aroma.
On the wires.
Otherwise, they come in frozen solid and you thaw it out when you're ready to use it. So thaw out, you can put it in the freezer.
Once it thaws out, you got to use it.
So let's see. Im shchachav nisha basav b'mayim me'es leis habasav v'gam ha'kli asur. Not only is the basav treif, the kli is treif because the kli has absorbed dam. The kaveh shenishra b'mayim me'es leis, a liver that's been soaked for 24 hours, yas hashel haschacham problem. That's a leniency. Liver that is soaked for 24 hours, there are more grounds to be lenient than meat, because since liver is so much blood, it's all blood, so it never stops giving out. The only problem why regular meat after 24 hours, the problem is because we assume that within 24 hours it stopped giving out. Once the meat stopped giving out, now it's ready to take back in. But liver never stops. Liver is constantly giving out blood. So being that it's constantly giving out blood, it never has time to reabsorb blood. So there's a possibility, and there are opinions that are hold, that liver that's been soaking in water for more than 24 hours is kosher. Because it never reabsorbed blood. It never had time to reabsorb blood. It's still in the business of giving out blood. So that's a leniency. That's what it says. Yaseh shel eschacham. There's grounds to be linked. Well,
you have to hang it where you pull it, you put these things on trees.
Yeah.
And you let it hang. And it just drips. Because if you lay like a piece of meat, you lay flat.
Right. It's going to soak in its blood.
But liver, you can't lay
it soaks in its blood.
Blood doesn't stop
coming out.
So you have to hang it and let it hang.
Drip.
Because otherwise, forget it.
Do they make incisions in the liver?
Well, you have to take out the...
No, the order to drape to drop, to drip down.
Well, some people, they start making little cuts. Yeah.
Help it along.
Years ago, I went to Milmart. So they showed us that the machines they use to broil, to kasher liver, are the exact same machines that are used in Burger King to make cheeseburgers. Because it's the perfect machine. It has fire coming on both sides.
Right.
It goes down, and they had a custom, they just basically took those machines in Burger King, and they customized it for kashering liver. And then someone was there and they asked him, what about the salting? It says in Shulchan Aruch, it's a melicha ma'at. It's supposed to put a small amount of salt, and they didn't do it. They were not using any salt at all during the empire. So the mashgiach didn't know the answer. So what's the answer? Why they don't do the... They told us the next day, they said that the time doesn't apply in this case. They had a whole explanation of why. I don't know. Shulchan Aruch, it says. The minig is a small amount of salt. Okay, I don't know what it is, but let's go for it. Let's see what it is. The Erev Shabbos.
We're buying wood. Let's say chicken livers.
Chicken livers, yeah.
You still have to go home and roast them, no?
No. It depends. No, I don't think they sell anymore anything that's not kosher in the stores. It's all...
You have to
look at the label.
It says on the label.
Okay, on the label.
You look at it, you'll see.
That's not so common. Yeah.
If you would buy a case of chicken, yeah. Livers are wrapped separately in a place that bagels
yes,
around
correct.
It. And it comes...
A box of chicken.
It comes in separate.
Right. Mm-hmm. They used to have years ago. They used to put the livers inside.
Yeah,
they take a little plastic bag and take the liver in. They buy a whole chicken.
Rabbi should change the alum. You can't buy meat that isn't kosher made except for the satma butchers. There's three places that could buy meat not kosher made.
Not kosher made.
Satma, Borough Park Satma, and the curious.
And you do it yourself.
Because they don't trust Ali to kosher the meat.
So what, all these women do it themselves?
And the butchers, the Satma butchers do it themselves. In other words, they won't let it out. The Gezeri is, you're not allowed to buy not kosher meat. Because they don't want to be nechshel.
Wow.
You used to be able to buy them.
Yeah.
When I grew up, we had a bagel in the kitchen.
That's what most of our Rabbanim did the whole day. They asked Aunt Shilas and Trafus and Birds. You go...
Absolutely. I still have them, I think, in the basement.
Yeah,
okay, let's go further. Gibel. Be'erev Shabbos she'en l'panayi be'oy be'inyin achen sh'ashod d'chugo d'ay l'shav shef ha'hetev es abosim b'mayim v'yishe achmad v'mayim. Let's say you don't have time to let the meat soak for half an hour. It's Erev Shabbos. And you have to start cooking for Shabbos. And you don't want to go soak your chicken or your meat in water for a half an hour before you do the melicha. Can you skip the soaking process? So the answer is yes, you can. B'di'aved, provided that you do at least a little bit for a few minutes. You rub it very carefully, you rinse it very carefully, and you soak it just for a small amount of time. Provided that there's no redness in the water. If you go and you put in water and the water is red, which means there's a significant amount of blood, forget it. Then you have to let it soak for a prolonged period of time, for a half an hour, and make sure you get rid of all the blood before you begin the salting process. There's too much blood for the salt to work on. Let's say you soak it, and after you soak it, you slice the meat into two pieces. You're in trouble because now you release new blood. If you just would have salted it, then the salt removes all the blood. But now that you've cut it, you have a new collection of blood. You have to rinse that cut. Well, now there's new blood. Hey, frozen meat. It must thaw out before you begin the salting process. Do not put frozen meat in the microwave, because then once you heat it up, you're gonna permanently force the blood inside to remain, and it's not going to come out in the salting process, but it will come out in the cooking process. You'll be basically eating trefa meat. You'll have blood which will be coming out in the cooking, and then the blood will be reabsorbed into the meat. So it's once blood leaves and goes back inside, it's treif. You have only one chance to get rid of the blood, and that is through salting. If you apply heat to raw meat before you salt, you're going to disturb the process of removing the blood. The blood will be semi-trapped. The salting is not going to completely remove it. The cooking will remove it, but it will remove it and cause it to be... Well, cooking the blood would not be a problem as long as the blood would be inside. If the blood would be inside, it would always remain inside, it would never be a problem. The problem is that the blood is some trapped. The salting is not going to completely remove it, but the cooking will remove it. But what happens when it removes? It removes the bubbles out and then goes right back inside. So basically your meat is meat that's been cooked in blood, treif meat. Why? Because you did not allow the blood to be released from the meat through the salting process, because you've disturbed the chemical process of removing blood through salt by applying heat to the meat prematurely before you finish the salting.
You have to be careful not only taking out the veins, just to, if you take a look on the piece of meat that you mentioned that causes the most problems, it's the skirts, because it has what they call silver on it. So you have that skin over it that looks like
it's a film.
So not all of it, yeah. So that film is called silver because of the color. And that traps in almost, you know, it's like it's a covering. And it traps in, and you got to remove the silver. And where you have the problems mostly, where certain hashgachas will—I mean, not on purpose—but they held that, you know, the of course some of it is okay and some of it is not okay. There were a lot of mistakes made that some of the silver wasn't removed that should, and some places lost the hashgacha. Then the monis on the, you know, they have hashgacha, but a lot of places won't eat meat from certain places because they're not very careful about removing the silver.
And that traps the blood inside.
But it still traps.
Traps the blood inside.
Could you clarify? You made a statement, well, it was not a problem with blood's inside. What did you mean by that? You made that statement.
The halacha is, if you're planning on roasting your meat, you're not planning on eating it cooked, you don't have to salt it. Because roast, what?
You have to wash it then?
Yes, you have to wash it, But if you roast meat, so the roasting, the fire removes the blood that is problematic, the blood that's on the outside. But technically speaking, if you eat a piece of meat and there's blood absorbed in the meat, there's nothing wrong with that blood. That's not called, but damen halach is only blood which leaves the meat. Blood that is absorbed in the flesh is not
a rare piece of meat that's bloody.
If you don't, let's say you eat a rare piece of meat with that, right? You just rinse it and you bite into a rare piece of meat. And when you're biting, when you're chewing the meat, you're also chewing blood. That blood would have been removed through salting or through roasting. But now I'm not salting it, I'm not roasting it, I'm just eating rare meat. Mutar lechatchila, there's no prohibition whatsoever. The problem is, if you are planning to cook your meat, so what's going to happen when you put the piece of meat? You never salted it. Take a piece of meat, I put it in the pot, I fill it up with water and I cook it. What happens? There's blood. The blood comes out. Once the blood comes out, that in halach is classified as dam. And then it's natural. Since the blood has nowhere to go, where does it go? It goes back into the meat. So you have now eaten a piece of meat cooked in blood. The meat is treif. So the solution is, you take the meat, you salt it. By salting it, you remove the dam. There's nothing, there's no more blood. You then cook it. When you're cooking it, there's nothing, even though you may notice some red stuff coming out, that in halacha is not called dam. That's just called the zeya. That's called tzir. Tzir, it's not in halacha.
Juice.
Oh, but it's red. And if you'll go to a scientist, they'll tell you that the juice is blood. You're right. The juice is blood, but in halacha, it's not called blood. Salt has the koach in halacha to remove anything that the Torah would consider to be dam. But if you're eating it rare, so there's no concern because it's not going out, going back inside. You're chewing it with the natural juice.
The vein.
Yeah.
The idea is you forgot the vein, so if you took out the vein,
there's nothing
blood,
more.
It's not real blood.
Yeah. Okay. So let's go further. You can soak it in lukewarm water. A frozen piece of meat. It's not the ideal thing to do. It's from its mashman and the chazal. The ideal water to use to soak is cold water. Lukewarm water is not so good. Lukewarm water appears to have a problem of of causing the blood to get trapped.
Chickens.
To get trapped where it's not, the salt will not be as effective. The salt will be the most effective if you soak it first in cold water, not lukewarm water. The reason why you want to use lukewarm water is because you want to accelerate the process, being that the meat is frozen. So I'm going to soak my frozen meat in cold water, and it's going to take a longer period of time for it to thaw out, to dissolve. But lukewarm water, it'll save me a half an hour. So b'shas etchak, you can do that. Halacha vav.
Frozen meat, if you soak in water, really frozen,
yeah,
takes 3 days to thaw out.
Frozen meat.
Half an hour is not going to do anything.
And if you do nothing,
water is going to get frozen in minutes. Because if the meat is frozen, it's going to freeze the water.
So what do you do? You do nothing? Just nothing?
Because the water gets cold, right?
Okay.
Time factor.
So what do you do? You do nothing?
About 3 days. If you want to thaw out meat, you can put it in a bin on Friday, fill it up.
3 days.
Monday, it'll first be thawed out, maybe.
Wow.
Maybe.
3 days.
What do you do? But you have a problem with letting it thaw out.
3 days. 24 hours.
Bacteria gets involved, and the health department will shut you down and not let you use the meat.
What do you do?
What?
What do you do?
You have to watch yourself and be careful. In other words, you can't use warm water because then you're accelerating the process. You're going to ruin the meat.
This affects me.
But you can use cold water. Cold
yeah,
water.
Well, that,
South America comes in.
They have now the big machines now that will, like, it sounds like, you know, you have a wood chipper.
Yeah.
It processes frozen meat. You just open up the box, dump the the whole meat into the machine. And it processes frozen meat.
What do
they make
process?
Machines that do that.
How does it process?
In other words, you grind it up.
Cuts it
I
up.
Mean, if you jumped into that machine, you'd come out chopped meat in a minute.
Well, we see
with your clothes.
Well, we see these trucks running off. We see these
unfortunately,
trucks
they have a lot of accidents. So
when you see these trucks coming off,
Jimmy runs that truck.
Yeah.
That's what they do. You see these trucks
in the museum.
Okay, one more halacha.
When you see these trucks unloading, like in front of me, with the big sides of meat, those are not frozen pieces.
No, that's not frozen. That's fresh meat.
That's fresh meat.
That's fresh meat.
Okay, one more halacha. Kli hamiyuchel l'shriyas basar ein lehishtamish bo l'davar acher shel machal. The kli that is used to soak meat, you should never use for any other purpose. It's treif. It's treif. It's full of blood. The blood is absorbed into the walls of these kelim, and therefore you're not allowed to use it for any type of kosher food. Okay, we'll stop here. We'll take a